RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice.
Welcome back, everyone, to Green Justice, an Arrow podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Josh.
And you've discovered a podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow with commentary and discussion on all the various episodes. But right now, we are eagerly, I think, anticipating the arrival of Season 2. So there is not much to talk about, except that the Season 1 DVD was just released about a week ago, I guess now, Josh, right?
Yeah. Just a little bit that, I think.
Yeah, I think you got your copy the day it came out.
Yep, I ordered it on Amazon Prime, and they delivered it on the very day that it was released, so I was very excited.
That's cool. I guess I could have done that as well. I opted just to get the free shipping, but I did get the I saved like $2.60 since I pre-ordered it, and I got the pre-order price guarantee from Amazon, so it came, and you know, like a week later, which was okay, you know, free shipping and all. So I still had time to watch it, but
every little bit helps. So.
Saved a couple bucks there. Yeah. So, well, before we get into talking about the DVD, there is some news that we wanted to let everyone know here. So, well, first off, this is our Summer Special 3, our Summer Spectacular 3. The previous two have talked about the Green Arrow comics and Green Arrow on in other television and media, so mostly the cartoons and stuff like that. So this one, we've got some news to follow up on last month's show when we talked about some of the new characters that we heard about coming. And the biggest one that we heard about was that the Flash is going to come into Starling City this season. And on at least, I think it was three episodes they're talking now, two early on in the season, one a little bit later. And the actor, they've actually cast an actor, and when I read the name, it didn't mean anything to me, but Grant Gustin, you familiar with this this actor at all?
His face looks familiar, but I don't watch the show that he's on, so I don't really know anything about him specifically, but I think I've seen his face around.
He's a good-looking guy, though.
Well, he's on a CW show, so
exactly.
That's how he got the part.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks like he could be in a boy band, you know, One Direction or something like that. I guess it says here that he's best known for a recurring role on Glee, and I have not watched Glee since, I want to say, like second season probably, and so I don't even, you know. I'm assuming that the kids have graduated high school at this point. So,
yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, they're all off on newer things. I'm sure.
Yeah,
he is a good looking guy, obviously, and the pictures that they post of him are going to be, you know, like his I don't know, the actor shots that they give, whatever, but you know, for publicity. But
oh, right.
It's something interesting that my dad was telling me this summer because I've kind of gotten him into watching Arrow, which was really cool, actually. So I'm looking forward to season two, him starting from the beginning, so I kind of watch along with him. But so he's been watching it all summer, and he'll call me and ask me questions about the show because he knows we do our podcast. But he said he gets a little confused because everybody's so good looking, he has a hard time keeping track of them. So I'm not sure that Grant Gustin here is going to help with that much, but maybe his suit will help.
Yeah, I was going to say everybody's good looking except possibly Detective Lance. He may be the least good looking. I mean, and he's a pretty, you know, for a disheveled sort of look that he's got, I think he's still pretty classy. So
he's got that rugged cop good look kind of thing going. So, I was not disappointed by any means with this choice because I don't know anything about the guy as an actor, but some of the things that I've heard, it really got my brain to thinking where they're going to go with this because it really does sound just from little things I've read here and there online that they're going with more superpower type stuff for him, for that character.
Well, right. It's, I mean, it sounds like, you know, he's going to have the accident with the chemicals in the laboratory, just like Barry Allen did in the comic books, and he will get turned into the Scarlet Speedster. So, you know, that's really cool because that is kind of outside their, the purview of what they've talked about in doing the show, where everything is grounded and this will be, you know, the most outlandish piece to it. And, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how far they go and whether or not, or what they do in this show, I guess, and then how they spin off The Flash and then what they do with The Flash. Because obviously if you've got a character called The Flash and your show is about him, you've got to have the super speed. I mean, it's just, otherwise, right. It's, you know, you can't have, it's not going to be like Smallville where it's like, oh, it's just going to be about Barry Allen before he got his superpowers. It's like, well, that would be lame.
Yeah. Well, and I can see them doing, you know, a lot of speed stuff and superpower type things in a show that was centered on The Flash. And maybe they'll transition into that from Arrow, and maybe he won't have quite the powers, but I think they have to have something that makes him The Flash. So they're going to have to give him some sort of just, you know, unnatural kind of, or superhuman abilities even in Arrow, I would think. So I guess we'll kind of see how they play it. But
my understanding was that his initial appearance or initial appearances, he will just be Barry Allen, and it will be towards the third appearance or the later appearance in the season where he'll actually get his power. So he won't have his powers right away. He won't be The Flash.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I kind of like that. And even though he's in the same universe, it kind of keeps most of that idea of the superpowers out of Arrow, which was what they originally had said they were going to kind of go for. So, and I'm glad that they're not playing it up as kind of just a hero of the week kind of thing, or a guest hero of the week,
right,
or things like that they used to do on you know, the old 60s Batman and Smallville too. So,
right now, let me ask you this question. So they say this actor is 23 years old. He looks pretty young. I mean, he's got a pretty good baby face.
As most forensic scientists are, you know,
sure.
23.
Right. Well, and you know, I mean, I understand, you know, he could have gotten out of the academy, I guess, and finished up his schooling, you know. So that's cool. Stephen Amell is, what, I'm going to put him early 30s, late 20s?
In real life or on the show?
Yeah, well, in real life.
Yeah, I would say probably early 30s, maybe.
Maybe 32, something like that.
Sure.
So it's probably a proper age difference between the two, but, you know, The Flash to me, Barry Allen at least, is more Arrow's age, you know, more Oliver Queen's age as he is in this show. And, of course, in the comics, Oliver Queen is older even. He's probably in his late 30s, maybe early 40s.
Yeah, well, I would say probably 40s, at least in the more of the 90s era.
Yeah, the Longbow Hunters and stuff like that.
Right, right.
But when I think of a young Flash, I mean, Wally West is, to me, he, you know, he's like a late teen, early 20, you know, just kind of brash character. And I don't know, maybe that's what they're going for. Maybe they want it to be Barry Allen because that is the universe that they're working on. They're working on all the original incarnations of the character, Barry Allen, Oliver Queen, instead of, you know, the second Green Arrow, which his name is totally escaped. Connor Hawk, right. And Wally West, you know, those would be the next generation of the superheroes and stuff like this. But he just, I don't know, this guy, we'll see how he acts and everything like that, but he just looks really young.
Well, his promotional photos all definitely make him look young and vibrant. So
yeah, well, but if he's been on Glee, that's also understandable, I guess, too, and maybe,
right,
I'm just getting old.
Well, well, we both are, for sure.
Well,
but
yeah, I mean, that's
but
true.
But you know what? The producers have done a pretty good job of making the characters seem, you know, at least something appropriate together, working together, you know. I mean, the only character that I think maybe stretches that a little bit, you know, was Thea. I think she's supposed to be a little bit younger than she looks.
Yeah. Because she had just turned 17, I think it was, in the episode where she crashed her car.
Right. I think that's right.
Yeah.
17 or 18, but I think something like that. But even that, she doesn't look that. So, right. But anyway, you know, this guy, I certainly will reserve judgment until after I see him. I can't make any rash decisions on his promo photo where he's lovingly off into the distance with his wavy hair.
This show is posted on the internet, and what do you mean we're not going to make rash decisions or wild accusations now without knowing anything? Come on.
We'll do that about something else.
No, I know. We are actually pretty reserved as far as that kind of stuff goes. So
yeah, well, it's because I don't want to go in with that kind of negative attitude where I'm not going to like it no matter what, you know, and I really want to like this, especially because it is the Flash. I don't want it to disappoint me. And, so I'll be excited about it, and we'll, kind of wait and see. I am excited. So you said he's going to be in like about 3 episodes. I saw that. Did it say how far into the season they're thinking that he might appear?
I think it was episodes 8 and 9. If I'm not mistaken, so they're gonna get a setup with season 2. We're probably gonna get a couple other, or at least an arc, if not 2. So let's see. That would put him so the season premiere is October 9th. So that would put him towards right before the holiday break.
Mm-hmm.
Early December.
With a 3 episode arc, which they don't do too much on Arrow. They've done some 2 episode arcs.
Well, it's supposed to be a break, so it would be like 8 and 9, and then he wouldn't be back until like
exactly so
18 that, or something like that.
So I could see them using that particular story arc as a winter break kind of a cliffhanger.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. So, yeah, I see that.
That would be something because it's such a well-known and loved character. I think they could really draw some audience from that, and they'll kind of build it up with some sort of suspenseful ending or cliffhanger that we'll look forward to coming back after the break.
Yeah, that'd be cool to have the promos for it, like blink or you'll miss this cameo or something like that, I could see them doing it. So anyway, the show is going to premiere about a week after this podcast has gone live. So, you guys are much closer than we are right now as we're recording it to the premiere on October 9th, which is Wednesday. So it's going to retain its same slot, Wednesdays at 8 on the CW, part of, what are they calling it? Amelie Days because of, they've got Stephen Amell's, I guess it's his cousin, on Tomorrow People at 9 o'clock, which is described as, what did I see it described as? I think it was The Running Man 90210.
Oh,
that's how they described
that
other show.
I hadn't seen that description. That's interesting. So, Robbie Amell is Stephen's cousin, right?
Yes.
So, the good-looking genes are flowing through that part of the family, it appears, and which I guess is how he got his job.
Yeah. no nepotism there.
So, it looks like an interesting show. I'll probably check that out a few episodes, see if I can fit that into my ever-increasing queue this season for all the new exciting shows that are starting up.
There is a lot of new stuff starting up, and it's one of those things. I was talking to some people they're asking, hey, should I start watching Arrow? And I'm like, oh yeah, it'd be a great place to start, even though there's been a season under the belt. It's kind of going to start fresh. So, they will catch you up on whatever you need to get caught up on. But, people are like, well, I don't want to get invested in this season if it's going to go away. I'm like, I don't think it's going away anytime soon, but there are definitely other shows that probably will.
Yeah, so. I can't even keep up, so I think my winter break is probably going to be spent catching up on all the new series that I haven't had a chance to watch. But I will for sure keep up each week with Arrow, so we can talk about it.
Definitely sounds good. And if you want to get a jump on season 2, there is a new promo out called "What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Sharper." And it's got some footage from season 2 on it, and also Oliver kind of talking to the camera and stuff like that. Looks to be some good action sequences, as always, coming up. So that's pretty cool. And then you also linked here, there's, I don't know, what was it, like 20-some photos from City of Heroes, which is the title of the season 2 premiere episode, season 2, episode 1.
I found that title kind of intriguing, you know, just, it sounds like, I guess we could kind of speculate on this, just even what we've seen so far in season one, but his little, group of, I guess, vigilantes, you know, that have been helping him and people that know who he is starting to grow. So it almost is starting to feel kind of like a Gotham situation with a lot of different people that help Batman, you know, a lot of the different heroes that are helping him. So,
oh, right. Not just those Batman lookalikes that wear padding and stuff like that from, what is it, Dark Knight?
right.
You don't mean like that. You mean like Nightwing and Batgirl and Robin and all those people.
Exactly. Okay. So I'm wondering if the city of heroes is kind of alluding to more and more people that start to come into the circle. Maybe you know, Roy, I would guess for sure. Yeah. And then maybe even who knows if his sister may be helping. I mean, just based on her nickname, that might be coming down the line. And so anyway, I don't know. I just found the title of that one.
I think that it also refers to just the fact that, so the last thing that happened, you know, at the end of season one was the Glades, you know, most of the Glades was destroyed. So I think you're going to see the city working with itself, you know, the people in the city working to help rebuild. And, you know, it's the heroes, the everyday heroes that are going to be kind of coming out of the woodwork in the city. Also, at the beginning, if you look at, go back and look at that What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Sharper promo, the first shot is of the Starling City, the Welcome to Starling City sign that we saw in season one, but now it's been defaced by vandals. It says Welcome to Scar City or Starling City. Instead of a star city, it's a scar city. And, you know, it's got painting or graffiti all over it. And one of the pieces of graffiti says, kill the killers, which is, I thought was an interesting little piece of, you know, tidbit on there, because you've obviously got these people who, these disenfranchised who were part of the plot, you know, for the people that Malcolm Merlyn wanted killed in the Glades, and they're probably, you know, feeling really angry with the one percenters, you know, the Queens and anybody else that was involved in the undertaking and stuff like this. So there may be, you know, some heroes to come out of that kind of situation as well.
Well, and I think we've talked about how at the beginning of the season, you know, Oliver's really kind of feeling down on himself for not stopping the second device, and has taken the summer to go try to get his head together and maybe not even do it anymore. And maybe the hood has inspired people to start taking those matters into their own hands. So that maybe that's what it means by the heroes. So,
yeah,
but interesting. So, now Nisi's getting me more and more excited about the premiere.
Between the season premiere of, the second season of Arrow, which, you know, it ended on such a high note. I'm very excited to where it's going to go. And the premiere of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this season. I mean, the amount of superhero stuff on TV. If you don't like one of those shows, you know, the other show will give you a fix. So, and you got Marvel, you got DC, you can get a little bit of everything here. So I'm really looking forward to it as well.
A lot of great entertainment on TV right now.
So what do you say we get in and talk a little bit about this DVD Blu-ray set for season one here?
Absolutely.
All right. So the first thing that struck me that I wasn't really paying attention to when I purchased it, I just, you know, I went to the link for Arrow season one from a website, and I decided to get the Blu-ray edition because I do have a Blu-ray player, and I'm slowly starting to get more Blu-ray stuff, and I'm like, oh, you know, there's always some other extras and stuff on here, so that should be cool. Well, when I opened it up, I was surprised because there were just tons of discs inside. I was like, what is this, like 9 discs here? Well, then I realized that it was what is it, 4 discs are Blu-ray, and then 5 discs are DVDs. So I have the same content over 2 sets, Blu-ray and DVD. So that's pretty cool. I feel like I got a really good deal on this. And it's also got the ultraviolet content, which I don't do anything with. But I guess I could download these you know, to watch on my computer or whatever that stuff's for, you know, whatever you do with ultraviolet.
Have you, it sounds like you haven't, but have you ever done any of the ultraviolet stuff? Have you ever downloaded anything?
No, I've never done anything with ultraviolet.
Oh, me neither. So I was just curious if how easy it was or convenient. I've never tried it. So interesting.
I know that, my friend, Eric, who's also on, the Random Chatter Network here, he's done some stuff with it and, you know, some of it's good and some of it's bad. You know, it kind of depends and, you know, it depends on network and the network servers and stuff like that. So it's a little sketchy. It's always better to actually own the material, I feel, and not rely on like a cloud copy. So,
well, and I'm glad that it came. One of the reasons that I did end up getting the Blu-ray for just a few dollars more, was because it had the DVDs with it. And now I can, you know, I can pop it into my computer, or if I'm watching in my basement where I don't have a Blu-ray,
right.
That's kind of nice. So, and I actually did that to watch some of the extras. I was, up in my bedroom, while my family was watching some other new show that I had no interest in. So I needed a DVD for that. So that, I agree with you. I thought it was a pretty good deal. All the same content, on, two different formats, three different formats, really.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know, the box and the disc design is, you know, pretty standard stuff. It's got a promo picture on the cover, which I think is, this was the one of the basic shots they were using for season one, shirtless Oliver Queen with the scars on his chest, and he's wearing the bandolier, or not the bandolier, the quiver with a few arrows in the back. And there's, you know, it looks like there's kind of destruction going on outside in the city. I see a lot of debris and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. The one thing that I noticed from all the promotional footage, and I don't know if you saw this, I know you were posting on our Facebook page kind of a countdown to the release of the DVD, and each day there was a different disc image, and you know, on one disc it was a picture of Oliver Queen, and the other disc was a picture of Laurel, and another had a picture of Tommy and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Well, the discs in here are just blah. They're not like the picture discs of the different characters, which I like those kind of discs. I know the Clone Wars has done, you know, discs with the characters' images on them for their seasons, and this is just kind of, it's a what do you call that when it's like, it's like, it's all green, but it's different levels of green. It's like a screen print or something like that.
Yeah. It's kind of like a silk screen on a disc.
Right.
And it's just one color, but different shades.
Right.
Yeah. I was kind of disappointed in that. And those pictures that I got for the Facebook countdown for this, you know, I just did a search for just the DVDs and pictures and things like that. Some of them that I found were actually from different countries, I think. I did find a couple that some people had just made on their own. I tried not to use those if I could tell that they were if they were homemade. But I don't know if they have different images. I know that other movies, you mentioned the Clone Wars, I think, you know, they have had other versions in different countries. So I don't know if that's the case for this or not. But, you know, I mean, they're fine. You don't see the disc most of the time anyway. But I was a little disappointed they didn't have the pictures on them.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity to spotlight different characters.
Right. Well, and they do that in promotional photos sometimes just to give it a little more punch. Because if they were to, you know, try to sell it with this, the way these look, that's not really visually appealing enough to,
no.
You know, because they like to spread the discs out in front of the box and have a nice press kit photo and stuff.
Right.
But one of the cool things that it does come with is, you know, it's a little 4-page foldout that tells you what's on each disc, what the name of the episodes are, who wrote it, who directed it, when the air date was, and a little brief, you know, sentence or two about what this issue's or what this episode's about. Like, you know, Vertigo, which says, after Thea gets in trouble with the police, Oliver turns to an old flame, now a vice cop, to help track down the creator of a new designer drug with lethal after effects. So, okay. Yeah, that's cool. I remember. Oh, right. I remember that one. So
yeah, it's I like the fact that they put the little summary on there. That's sometimes hard for me. I'll be putting in. I think I have the whole Farscape series, you know, mm-hmm. and if I'm trying to find yeah. one of those episodes and I don't have the description, it's, oh man, it takes a long time if I can't find the right one.
Yeah, I go to Wiki for that kind of stuff. So, and then the cover for that little brochure is Oliver in his full Arrow getup with the leather tunic and the hood up. Same pose as on the cover, same quiver shot, but the city is a little more clear in the background. Well, I guess there's a little bit of debris in the sky or something. I don't know where that's coming from because he's up really high.
That's before the earthquake,
right.
or just after the earthquake started.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know, but I have to say I'm a little surprised. I mean, that doesn't bother me, but I'm a little surprised they didn't use that picture, the one with his hood on and his costume on the cover of the box, because that seems to be a little bit more identifying rather than just this shirtless guy with his leather strap across his chest.
Well, to their benefit, though, the shirtless photo was pretty much how they were promoting the entire season, you know, in all media. So
that's true. That is true. Yeah.
That is probably what people are more casual. People who might have like heard about this is, oh yeah, there's that shirtless guy. Oh,
or they're marketing to the 20, 30 something women that watch the show,
or maybe. The 50, 60 something women that watch the show. Right. So.
No. Okay. Now I'm going to ask this now.
Okay.
Because I've wondered this, and this isn't the first time, but it really stood out on this cause I didn't expect it. But do you know why he does not have his sort of star shaped tattoo on his chest, on the right above his left pec? He does not have that tattoo in this picture.
Oh yeah, that's true. Is that the Bratva, the Russian tattoo?
Is that what's
is that the one that he's missing there?
I'm trying to think. Yeah, it's like kind of a star shape, kind of an eight pointed star shape. That's the Russian one, right?
Yeah, I think so. Because I want to say that was where he like pulled his shirt. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hang on. I'm just looking up a picture here online. Yeah, it's that black 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. His scars are actually a little bit different on the cover than they are in like the actual video footage. But yeah, that's the one where he kind of pulls his shirt down and shows the Russian dude that he's a member of Bratva.
So I don't know. I could be mistaken on this. Maybe I missed something or I'm forgetting, but he... That is a tattoo, right? I mean, it's
yeah. Permanent. Oh, yeah. He's had that permanent. He had that since he got back from the island. So
right, right. It wasn't something he got after he got back.
No. So obviously, the artwork on the front here is, I mean, that's what it is. It's artwork that was never, I guess,
sure.
finished up to match how they actually ended up shooting the show.
Well, and looking at other images of this, I would say, we don't spend too much time with,
you're just staring at his chest. I know. You can talk chest. About it. It's okay.
I just maybe it was too distracting because it is a pretty dark and big tattoo. It stands out. I mean, your eye is kind of drawn to it. So maybe that was just something they didn't want on the front cover that they were going to promote to everybody. Because if you look on the front cover, you can see it's very faint because it's shaded. He's got the sort of, I don't know, Chinese lettering or something that he has on the right side of his stomach.
Mm-hmm.
That is there on the cover, but it's very hard to see.
Right.
So, but anyway, just curious. That was probably more of a marketing decision than a mistake. But it's not the first time I've noticed it. So
okay, well, I didn't pay attention to that, but good catch.
Apparently, I'm looking at his chest more than you are.
So while we're talking about the overall set too, so this contains all 23 episodes across the 4 Blu-rays and across the 5 DVDs, plus a whole bunch of extras, which we'll get to in just a second. But what I didn't realize, and I guess I just wasn't reading closely enough at the time when I was finding out the specs for this, was that there are unaired pieces of footage in about 11 of these episodes. And I haven't had the chance to put in an episode next to, I watched two of the episodes, but I don't know. Off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you what the new footage was. I didn't put it in and compare it to like the DVR version that I've got. So I don't know if you had a chance to look at any of this or what your thoughts were about this unaired footage, because this is kind of a new thing as far as I'm concerned. This doesn't happen on like the sitcoms that I buy on DVD.
No, not usually. So, here's what I did. I did not get a chance to, I haven't rewatched all of the episodes yet. I actually did watch, Sacrifice, the season finale. That does say there are unaired scenes, and I can't remember which one it is. But what you can do is you can actually just watch the unaired scenes. So
on Blu-ray or on DVD?
I'm going to say both, because I watched it on DVD, so I'm assuming it's on Blu-ray too. But I think so.
Now, was that fifth disc?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, no. I take that back. It's all of them. The unaired scenes are available on the disc. For the episodes that are on that disc.
Oh, okay. So that's what I thought. I was looking for that and I couldn't find that. So I'll have to look at that again, because there is also deleted scenes that are on the fifth disc or on the bonus disc with the bonus material, I guess. Deleted.
Are those not the same?
Some of them might be, but it's about 3 minutes of, and they call them deleted scenes, not unaired scenes.
I could be mistaken then.
Yeah, so it's about 3 minutes long, and there's about five or six sequences, and there's like one or two of them that are from earlier episodes, but the last four or five or so are from, I'm going to say, the last three or four episodes. I mean, there's extra footage of like Laurel talking to people in her office about all the stuff they have to get out before the Glades gets destroyed. And there's another shot of Felicity figuring something out before she walks outside and then gets picked up by Detective Lance. They had part of the scene that we already saw where she talks to Detective Lance outside the police station at one point when she was getting grilled about, you know, who she knows and why was she hacking stuff from the Queen Consolidated and things like that. So I don't know if these are the same scenes. That I would think they're different, but I didn't have time to compare all that.
Yeah, I didn't even think about them being different. I guess I just made the assumption that they were the same ones, but that you could watch them separately. So maybe they are. I will tell you that I did. I watched through all the ones that were extra that you could see on the menus. I mean, some of them are literally just like 10 seconds long, and that's the only one from that episode. And some of them are a little bit longer, a couple minutes. I know there was one where Diggle had just found out about Oliver's secret, and Moira was firing Diggle, and Oliver came in they were actually outside, and he came over and kind of saved him, said, no, I need him. And so that was, it was kind of a little exchange of why Diggle's still there and why Oliver wanted him or how he got him back or something. So,
oh, cool.
But things like that. So some of them were a couple minutes long. Some of them were just a few seconds, and none of them, to watch the entire thing of those scenes, if they're different than the unaired ones, didn't take very long at all.
Yeah, well, that was not one of the deleted scenes that was with the bonus material. So I think there's stuff that they edited back into the episode then, and then there was other deleted scenes that they left out, and then they gave those to you as a separate cut scenes. The unfortunate thing about the ones with the bonus material is that you have to watch them all. You can't pick, you know, I want to see the third one now. You have to just watch the entire, whatever, 3 minutes or 4 minutes. So, but that's cool. I'll have to look and see how to view just the deleted stuff then. Among the other bonus features that are on the at the end of the set, either on the fourth disc or the fifth disc, is something called Arrow Comes Alive, which is a little background with the creators on how they came up with the series, and then just interviews with the cast, shot against the backdrop, used for like, it looks like it's a press, electronic press kit kind of thing where they just did stock interviews with people and kind of cut them all together and gave you some background on the creation of the show.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed on that one. I thought that that was going to be kind of a history of Green Arrow, kind of like what we did in our summer special.
Yeah, it started that way because they were showing some images from the comic books, but then it kind of just went into more of production and casting and
characters. I hope they actually do that sometime. I hope they, go in and do a little documentary about the character, because I think that would be really cool to watch. Not as good as listening to us talk about it, of course.
But, right. so, but it was cool. I mean, it was about 25 minutes or so.
Yeah.
I got to say, for the amount of extras that you get is actually pretty good for a full season of stuff, because a lot of the time, I got to say, I don't know, looking at like even the Lost discs, they had some stuff on them, but not a lot. It was short little, 8 minutes here, 8 minutes there, a couple little short things like that. This has, at least two really long, almost 30-minute pieces on it. And then I think the second thing, the stunt school documentary was 20 minutes or something like that, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. So, I think they were about the same.
Yeah. What was your thought on? So, did you watch the stunt one? I think that was the first one
yes.
I watched.
Yeah, that was I watched whatever order. I think that was the second one I watched because of that. But and I was actually kind of looking forward to it, so I was waiting to closer to the end. But I liked that one. That one was a good one because it really showed you how they set things up, which we had talked a lot about during the first season. And it showed you how much Stephen Amell really wants to do and how kind of excited he gets about this stuff and how he'd been preparing for the parkour parts of it. And so I liked that. And I learned something that I had no idea.
I bet this is the same thing that I learned as well. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I found out that on set, when they're filming the show, there is a no arrows rule.
Yep.
You are not allowed to put an arrow on a bow, ever. I had no idea that all of the arrows in this show that they shoot are digital.
I did not either. That just blew my mind that every arrow is digital. And
then it makes sense, but yeah. it never occurred to me because it looks perfect.
There are a couple shots, of course, that look like their effects with the arrow. Like I think when he shoots the three arrows when he's drugged out on Vertigo. But they said that they don't actually have any arrows that go into the bow. So there are probably arrows in his quiver. But when he goes to pull them out, it's all digital. They have a bow that is preloaded and pre-drawn. So if there's a dialogue scene, basically, if he lets go, it looks like he's pulling the string back and knocking the bow. But if he were to let go, it would stay in that same position. Yeah. So,
and they showed the scene with him and Count Vertigo where he had it right at his face.
Yeah.
To kind of demonstrate which one they were talking about.
Right. And so that totally blew me away. The other thing that you see in this is the fact they film in Vancouver, even though it's supposed to take place in Starling City, right? Come on. but it's raining a lot, and they're showing these guys jumping from rooftop to rooftop in these parkour sequences. And you can actually, in the documentary, you can actually see how much it's raining. They tend to shoot stuff, so you can't really make out how much it's raining on the TV show, but these guys are having to run across these platforms, jump, 10 feet across a roof or the space between two rooftops and land on a platform on the other side. And it's like, man, that's a lot of rain. It gets slick. That's dangerous. I'm just, these guys really impressed me. And the fact that Stephen Amell does, all the stunts or, as like probably like 50% more stunts than I actually thought he did. So that,
he's very physical on the show.
Right. And they also talk about how they come up with the ideas for doing the stunts and how they use the bow in a creative way. It's not just for shooting arrows. It's used for punching and hooking and pulling and dragging and beating and like a sword or like a bat or like it's got brass knuckles on it on the middle, which I really had never noticed before. But now that I see it, when he puts his hand to hold the bow, it's two of his fingers go through these brass knuckles that he can punch somebody with. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So. And they use that. They use a variety of fighting techniques to make all the scenes different and the stunts impressive and new and unique. So which keeps it much more interesting and entertaining for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was probably my favorite of the bonus features, because I think you really get a good sense of what they're what they're accomplishing, and you get to talk to the stunt coordinator and the stunt man and stuff like that. And then the third piece they have on there is the Arrow cast and creative team at the 2013 Paley Fest, Paley Center for the Arts. And it's a sit down discussion with the three creators, Andrew Krisberg and I'm totally blanking on everybody else's name now. Anyway, so it's got them, and then it's got four of the actors, and it's hosted by Jeff Johns, who is the writer of DC's Justice League series and was a writer on Green Lantern for a while. He also wrote one of the episodes of Arrow last season. So that was interesting. It's kind of like a Inside the Actors Studio, where they were, you know, there was some stuff that was covered already in the Arrow Comes Alive piece, I thought. But it was also interesting to hear, you know, fan interaction. They would talk about, like, David Ramsey plays John Diggle was there, and they were asking him about, you know, what does he do, you know, when he gets the scripts, how does he prepare? And he goes, I look at the last page to make sure they haven't killed off Diggle.
That was funny.
And the audience went nuts, and so, you know, one of the other creators was like, so you guys are saying you like Diggle, you don't want us to kill him off? And they all cheer, and he looks at David Ramsey and goes, oh, okay, all right, you can stick around.
So. that was good. So, and this panel, I guess, I've never heard of Paley Fest, but it took place either, I don't know, late February or beginning of March, somewhere around there.
Yeah, it was right before they went into the last, whatever, four or five episodes, I guess.
Right, and so it was interesting to see them talking about this after we have already seen, you know, the finale and how it all played out, because they were kind of dancing around some of those things because they couldn't talk about them yet. But it was interesting, and you could really tell that the cast and the crew are so passionate about the whole universe here and the story. So it was pretty cool to watch. I like it a lot. I like stuff like that. I like when they're talking about behind the scenes stuff, and you can tell that they really care about it, and they really, you know, want to continue it,
right,
for as long as they can.
I just really kind of wish that they'd, I guess, do more of this. You know, have it be 45 minutes and really get into it. I mean, for me, I've got a background in cinema, having gone to film school, and of course, then not using it for anything. But I really like when they get down into, you know, why do they do this and why do they make these decisions about the character and, you know, why do they choose to write things this way? I like that kind of in-depth stuff, you know, like the extras you get on DVD films, like the Criterion Collection and stuff like that. So more in-depth stuff. But, you know, I know they're not making this disc set for, you know, someone like that. This is more of a, you know, casual fan. And they may never make the stuff that I'm interested in for the show, but you know, it's cool. I do like getting this glimpse. I think there's also, with the internet now, there's a great opportunity to get a lot of other behind the scenes information and, you know, things from YouTube or people have posted from other conventions or other press bits and stuff that have been released. I just kind of wish they'd collect that kind of stuff and put it onto a DVD at some point, but you know, maybe at some point, I guess.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to, with things like this, with the TV series, things like this, you don't, like you said, you know, you don't get that kind of stuff very often, but I don't know, it sure is fun.
Yeah. And then the last thing you get is pretty much obligatory, I think, on all TV series. You get a gag reel, like a 3-minute montage of all the goofs they did over the season, which was interspersed with Stephen Amell's workout montage, which I don't know if you noticed this. It's like they'd be doing some goofs, and then all of a sudden they'd cut to him doing some of the pull-ups or push-ups or...
I kept thinking he was going to fall.
Yeah, I was waiting for that to have a funny bit, like he messed up, and I'm like, they're just showing more of his workout stuff here. So,
beefcake time.
Yeah,
it's like you said, it's kind of obligatory at this point. But I don't know. It's always kind of fun to see, but I'm always disappointed when it's just them messing up their lines.
Yeah,
you know. Not that it's, you know, not that I want anybody to get hurt, but watching people, you know, fall doing run and stunts and things like that, that's a lot more entertaining than hearing people mess up their lines.
Yeah.
So, but it was okay. It was very short, so kind of fun to watch and, you know, move on to something more exciting.
Right. So that's the, you know, that's what the DVD set is. I got to say.
So is there anything that's not in it that you kind of expected or hoped?
No, actually, I mean, that if it was just going to be a basic set, if it was just going to be the episodes that aired and these extras, I would think it was an okay set, because these extras are kind of cool. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, a couple other things, you know, something talking about the writing, for example, or being able to get interviews with a number of the other actors and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Some of the guest stars, even.
And I know that they've done interviews before, so that would have been good to see too.
But the fact that the thing that really was surprising to me, and that just makes this stand out, is the fact that they added in extra footage into these episodes that never aired. So now, in all perpetuity, you know, for the rest of time, as we watch these episodes, we're getting more footage. We got to go back and like re-index all these and talk about each episode again. No, I'm just...
Yeah.
That would not...
I'll clear my calendar.
Yeah. But there's nothing I can think of. How about you? Any things that you wished for that you didn't see?
The only thing is, like I said, just kind of that history of the Green Arrow character, because that's where it comes from. But I'm not disappointed in that at all. I mean, I'm not disappointed in the set. This is a set on the TV show, and I certainly don't mind them, you know, separating that out a little bit. Not a problem. But I just think that stuff's fun to watch. So I kind of hope they had added that. But otherwise, no, I'm very satisfied with what's on here, and the extras are pretty good.
Sweet.
Especially for a first season TV show.
Yeah, definitely. So anything that you wanna point out or look forward to for season two here as we start to wrap up the episode?
Well, I am I'm really stoked about getting started on, and I like the idea that they did it in real time. So it's going to be 3-4 months after the Sacrifice episode, which was the season finale. So my brain has been wrapped around the character of Green Arrow all summer, just the entire history of him, and now I'm kind of ready to get right back into this universe, the TV universe. Mm-hmm. And my biggest hope for it is that it is different. You know, season one was fantastic. I really wouldn't change anything. And I hope that they challenge themselves to kind of go in a couple new directions, but still keep that same passion for the comics and for making the character real and not kind of that hokey and just always dark brooding superhero that is kind of flat, in my opinion. So, you know, that's kind of what I'm looking forward to. And I have hopes that they will do that, because they've been pretty successful with what they've done so far. So,
okay. Yeah, that's cool. Well, I'm looking forward to the plethora of comic book references and guest stars they've set up. I mean, we're probably only hearing, I'm going to say, a quarter of what they've got planned for the season, because, you know, they've probably only worked through, I'm going to say, the first 9 or 10 episodes, you know, just in detail. And we've already heard about The Flash, Bronze Tiger, Sin, Amanda Waller, you know, just tons of references to other DC properties and characters and stuff like this. So if, you know, and then there's people talking references to Justice League, and that, you know, Stephen Amell could be a good contender to show up in, like Man of Steel 2 with Batman and, you know, be part of the Justice League or something like that. And so I'm just looking forward to see how far this ball gets rolling. And I hope it doesn't stop, because I'm having a blast watching the show. I'm having a blast talking to you and, you know, sharing all this kind of stuff about the show. So I'm eager to start watching season two as soon as it starts here, as are the rest of my family. I don't know about you guys, but we all sit down on the weekend and watch the episode again. The kids don't watch TV during the week, so that's kind of their first opportunity to see it. So that's some good family time spent there. That's about all we have for this week's episode of Green Justice. So I hope you guys had a good time.
Yeah, and if you enjoy this episode, make sure you leave us feedback on iTunes. We'd really like to see that. You can also contact us by email at greenjustice@randomchatter.com. And you can go to our Twitter, which is @GreenJusticePod, and our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/GreenJusticePodcast.
And be sure to check out our other new show for this season, which is called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, which is also available at randomchatter.com. You can just go over there to find out all the information about that, or search for us on iTunes. Just look for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. And, of course, if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to tell all your friends. And remember, if you don't keep listening, you have failed this city.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.